Good morning, everyone. Whether this be your first visit to us via our podcast or if you are now considered a seasoned regular, good morning. Today is Good Friday and we are coming to the end of Holy Week. Hopefully, if you subscribe to our weekly church email, you have been journeying with us with a daily Bible reading, reflection, activities and artwork. May I take this opportunity to give a massive thanks to my friend, the Reverend Andy Baker, for allowing us to use his Labyrinth blog. It has been inspirational. Now we are about to begin our Good Friday service. I hope you've been able to open or download the service sheet so you can join in where appropriate. As always, our worship team have curated their song choices to reflect our Bible passage. If they are not familiar to you, then take this as an opportunity to expand your worship repertoire and make a joyful noise. As Nigel Lowe would say, no one can hear you. And so in that vein, we begin with our first song.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
I know with all my heart,
Now may we take up an attitude of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is hard for us to understand why you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross. Why did he have to pay for all the wrong we have done when he had never done anything but good? It must have been the hardest thing to watch your only Son being put to death, knowing that you had the power to stop it, but knowing that he must go through it if you were to overcome death and sin. Father, we are amazed by your love that allowed this to happen for our sakes, so that we could be forgiven and receive your new life. Please help us to believe and trust in Jesus, so that by his death we might have life. Amen.
Matthew 27, verses 27 to 38. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left.
Before I begin our first part of our talk, let me pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As Jesus was captured, convicted, and condemned to a criminal's death, where were the disciples? Some had scattered, hiding or cowering at a distance, fearful of being recognised as one of those Jesus people. In just under a week, life had gone from triumph to pain. The world as God's people knew it was about to change forever. And the who, what, why and how of it all was yet to be understood. But as we begin to journey with Christ, as he is taken to the cross, nailed to the wood, and hung up in the midday sun to slowly expire, we hear a cloud of words buzzing around the prose of our first reading, describing actions and behaviours that cause our eyes to look downward and away. The person we have chosen to follow, to love and bind ourselves to through faith, is being crucified, and it is difficult to watch, to participate in, and accept that we have played a part in this scene too. For this day came about as a once-for-all sacrifice, not just for those who knew Jesus then, but for all those who have followed his way from that day to this, and for those who will come to him by faith in the days to come. Therefore, our thoughts, our ways, our deeds have contributed to this story. We are as bound up in it now as the first disciples were 2 millennia ago. For what Jesus did on that first Good Friday didn't appear good, or even okay. It looked awful and barbaric, and it should therefore come as no surprise to hear that for many of us, it can be easier to turn away from the crucifixion than it is to turn to it. If we dwell in this moment for too long and do not avert our gaze and distance ourselves from what is happening, then we risk being exposed. For as we gaze at Jesus being led to and then hung upon the cross, we see all the things we long to avoid. Those feelings and thoughts of being vulnerable, mocked and violated, and we don't want to look weak to the world, and it is never a preferred option to be deliberately bullied, put upon and scared. So as we come to the end of this first part of this talk, may I encourage you to be brave and lift up your eyes to the Maker of heaven and earth, and see, as the psalmists once wrote, where our help comes from. And if you need to, just pause this talk right now and take a moment and reread this first passage from Matthew 27, verses 27 to 38, and let God show you what Jesus took to the cross with him that was ours, for our sakes. And then let's say together the confession we have on our service sheet. When you get to the words in bold, say them confidently and with conviction. For it was Jesus' mercy, Christ's mercy, that made a way for us to be freed from all that can separate us from our relationship with God, the Father. And so join with me in this confessional response. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help when we take our ease rather than watch with you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. When we bestow a kiss of peace, yet nurse enmity in our hearts, Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. When we strike at those who hurt us, rather than stretch out our hands to bless, Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. When we deny that we know you for fear of the world and its scorn, Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace now and forever. Amen. And so we come now to our second reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 39 to 44. Thank you, Rachel.
Matthew 27, verses 39 to 44. Those who passed by held insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults at him.
And so we come now to our second part of the talk. But as the world suffers and laments our current pandemic, should we really be distancing ourselves from the cross, turning our gaze away from the difficult and the horrendous? Or should we be looking for where God is in all of this? Our second reading shows us exactly where God is in the most difficult and painful of circumstances. He is right in the thick of it, hearing and receiving all the insults and abuse that a struggling humanity, which is raw with grief, angered at injustice and lost without hope, can muster and project onto him. He is not turning away. He is not escaping or removing himself from the situation he finds himself in. For it is true what the bystanders and the dignitaries and the influencers of that age said. Jesus could come down from the cross. As God incarnate, he could. He could fling aside earthly things and create a new day that did not involve being present in the current climate of suffering, death, and sin. But he chose not to. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." But knowing the task he had come to complete had to be done, he ends that prayer with an obedient clause. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." There had always been a desire that God and his people would be in a right relationship with one another. And that was what kept Jesus on track, on plan, and in the midst of us. Despite everything going wrong and all being wretched in this world, no amount of verbal, physical, or mental torment was going to make him leave. And so we look to the cross and see our Saviour hanging on it and hanging on in there. And it should give us hope and comfort. For if we are in such a place right now, or even in the days and weeks to come, I truly believe and am certain Christ will be in that place too, with us, hanging on in there with us. Let's pause for a moment now, and I want you to respond to this passage and talk in song. Either listen and reflect, or join in and sing along.
Broken.
Matthew 27, verses 45 to 56. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
And so we come now to our third part of this talk for today. Our final reading portrays the scene of Jesus' final hours as our God incarnate. As he dies, the sky reflects what is happening on the cross. It grows dark. The light that shone so brightly, giving us warmth and sight, is now gone. There is a building up of tension. Jesus lets out human cries, and bystanders interpret as only a human can, thinking he is calling out for help from another great teacher and prophet, Elijah. The world has not yet understood what is actually happening here. God is making a way for that close and real relationship with him to happen unfettered. Jesus calls out again and then gives up his spirit. He dies. And there it is. Amidst the drama and the pain, the confusion and misunderstandings, the ultimate action of God on earth. It's what makes Jesus' death on the cross the epicenter of Christianity, upon which God's character is revealed and where we meet him with eyes wide open and upward looking. And you could be left thinking, why would a person do that for me? Give up his spirit? Willingly, unashamedly, and for no gain or profit other than to enable me to be with him and he with me. Let's take a look at verses 51 and 52 from our passage. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. In that moment of giving, of death, wearing a cloak of darkness, weighed down with the soiled matter of humanity, Jesus falls away from his Father's presence to make a way for us to be in God's company once again. So immense was this thing, this giving, that it shook the earth physically, tore the temple curtains that separated us from the holy place where God dwelt. Those temple curtains were torn apart, symbolically giving us a spiritual response to the enormity of what Jesus had done for us. Taken away all that stood between us and God the Father. And gave us a foretaste of the last day of resurrection that is to come. So transformational was this act that even those who had no belief, trust or hope in God saw and declared, surely he was the Son of God. And those who could gain access to the site, that hill outside the city walls, because they pose no seen threat to empire or synagogue, stood waiting to come close and tend to the one they knew had a way, that if they followed it, would lead them to new life. Those women had walked with Jesus, listened to him, and not taken their gaze from the cross. Can we do the same? Can we walk with him? Gaze at what he has done for us? And then remain. Amen. We now come to the time of the affirmation of faith. Now you might like to stand for this, or you might prefer to stay seated. It is entirely up to you. But let's say these words together. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please do take a seat if you are standing, and let us now be led in our intercessions by Pat.
When I say in you, O Lord, the response is, do we put our trust? Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that your peace envelopes each and every one of us and our families this coming week. May your essence drench through our souls, our anchor that nothing can take away. May we meet you in our days of need, and may we find you and be still in your presence each and every day. Thank you, Lord, that our trust is in you, which helps us to cope with the challenges that social isolation brings. Let us pray together for an end to this virus. Keep us safe, Lord, and put your protection on us today. We have the strength of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So in Jesus' name, we pray for protection on our church family, our friends and families, Natasha, Jamie and her family. But special prayers and thanks go to the NHS, our courageous doctors and nurses. Keep them protected, Lord, with all the protective clothing they need to keep safe. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Thank you, Father God, that nothing is impossible for you. You give us courage when we're afraid. When we feel lonely, you embrace us with your love. I shall pause for a moment as I encourage you to open your hearts and welcome him in. What glorious help he gives us. Nothing is impossible for him. Having that partnership and relationship with Father God, it enables us to talk about all the issues that may be worrying us. Father, your Son Jesus Christ healed all kinds of sickness, and he went among the crowds proclaiming the gospel of your kingdom. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those who are spreading kindness. Kindness sits quietly beyond all things, because how beautiful a day becomes when kindness touches it. Be kind to our neighbours. They need us more than ever. God is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. Jesus taught us to call God our Father, and so in faith and trust we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Savior has ransomed me.
was good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He were my shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are.
And so we come now to our closing prayer. Let us pray. Lord, you know the dusty road, the fickle crowd, the pushing and pulling of everyday life. Be beside us as we journey on. Lord, you know the pain and loneliness, the insults and betrayal of those in power. Be near to those who are hurting. Lord, you know the power of love over hate, of hope over despair, of light over dark. Fill our lives as we go from this place to be your witnesses to your truth in the world. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, this podcast for Good Friday. And may I encourage you to come and join us once again on Sunday morning, Easter Day, for our communion service together. Enjoy the rest of this day. Have some peaceful time on Saturday, and I'll see you again on Sunday. God bless and stay safe.